Let's open to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse number 47. John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, we've taken up the issue here of Abraham rejoicing to see the day of the Lord and seeing it, and was glad about it. Last time we got together, we started talking about how he saw it. And just to reiterate briefly, there are several ways that he could have seen it. He could have actually been permitted to come out of Abraham's bosom and physically view the goings-on. Or he might have just believed God. That's where we started reading this morning. Verse number 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. He's continuously made an appeal to the Scriptures throughout this whole discourse. And it starts, of course, at the beginning of the chapter with the woman taken in adultery. And we've come all the way down to this place, and he's constantly referred to the Scriptures, God's Word. So I'd say that's probably where we should be looking, since that's the context. Well, we started looking there last time we got together. If Abraham knew the Word of God, and somebody would say, well, he couldn't have actually known the Word of God. Well, yes, actually, he could. People before Genesis was written still knew the Word of God. Now, they didn't have it written down on scrolls as Moses puts it down for the children of Israel, but they knew God's Word. And so, Abraham saw the day of Christ, and he was glad. To refresh our memories, what did Jesus mean in verse number 56 when he said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day? What does the term my day refer to once again?
The time of Christ. The time Christ is born all the way to the ages of the ages.
Yes. Yes, that's his day. from the time that he takes upon himself the form of a man until he yields up the kingdom to his Father in the ages of the ages. That is the entire panorama of the day of Christ. That is what he means. So when we looked at Abraham's experience in the plain of Mamre, what did we see? There were a couple of main things that Abraham saw from his own personal experience. That coupled together with the fact that he knows God. That's made very clear because Jesus makes the distinction between these Pharisees that he's talking to and those that know God. He claims the Pharisees don't know God, which obviously they don't, and implies that Abraham does. So if Abraham knows God, what did he learn in the plains of Mamre as he starts putting two and two together? No, this is after he rescued Lot from the evil clutches of the five kings. Although the king of Sodom was involved. No, this scene takes place later, chronologically. What did he see in the plains of Mamre? Remember, as we looked into Genesis chapter 18... those three men make an appearance to Abraham in the plain of Mamre. What business was transacted? Yes, Sarah was going to have a son. And the import of that cannot be stressed enough, because we're going to find out that when we get to Moriah, God points out, take Isaac, thine only son. He makes it very clear that he's not counting Ishmael. Yes, we'll get to that because that's another place. We're going to look at Moriah in just a moment. So, in Mamre, he's promised that he'll have a son. And of course, what's his answer? I'm kind of old, and Sarah laughs, but does it come to pass? Of course it does. The angel said, I'll return in the time of life, meaning that very next year, and Sarah will conceive by you and have a son. Well, that's already taken place, so he knows that that piece of the puzzle is put into place. And the son must be very important because of the miracle that takes place. He and Sarah both being past age. And then what else takes place? Well, the men are there. They
eat.
Yes, they do eat. But before they leave, something else occurs. Which brings us back to Sodom once again.
Yes, the Lord bless him.
He did. But what other great thing takes place concerning Sodom?
Well, it gets destroyed.
Yes! It's destroyed. What do we see about Lot in that story?
That he was righteous.
Well, we didn't see it there. He doesn't look righteous in that narrative, and we wouldn't even know he was righteous if something hadn't been said in the New Testament.
Well, but he's sitting at the gate, which means he was part of the city council.
Yes, the ruling elders of the city.
So he was important as far as
yes.
The city goes.
But I brought something up just a moment ago about Lot and Sodom. The five kings.
He didn't believe that what they were doing was right, but he didn't.
That's true, but has Lot ever been in Sodom before we find him in Sodom this time? The answer is yes. He certainly was. That's why his uncle Abraham had to raise up an army and go and defeat the five kings, one of which was the king of Sodom, to get his nephew back. So he'd been in Sodom before. Now, where do we find him in this story? After he's been bailed out, his fat pulled out of the fire, where do we find him again? Right back in Sodom. He goes right back there. Abraham asks God a question that he already knows the answer to concerning the destruction of Sodom. What was that? Yes, but that was predicate. What was before that? Abraham asked God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's where the bargaining comes in. That's how it begins. But that's the question. Will God destroy the righteous along with the wicked? And of course, the answer is no. But Abraham begins this bargaining process, and he leaves it off at 10. But how many actually were found in the city? Yeah, he's the only one so far as we know. God gave him his family for good measure, or part of his family, the ones that would listen. He didn't destroy for the sake of one. He took the one out of the way. That could be important. Do you think Abraham found that out? He doesn't know it at this point. In fact, we don't even know if Abraham at this point knew that Lot was in Sodom. Probably he did, but he might not have. Nonetheless, we see that God will not destroy the righteous along with the wicked, but then what happens to the wicked? Yes, utterly wiped from the face of the earth. And by what process? Maybe a little more severe than lightning. They were probably wishing they'd been hit by lightning by the time this is over. Yeah, absolutely. The whole city is set on fire. What does that kind of remind you of?
Judgment?
Yeah, maybe a certain rich man that's tormented in this flame. Do you suppose Abraham saw that too? I'll just bet he did. Now, Abraham's pretty smart. He can start adding things up. So, when he starts to add things up, do you suppose he's starting to think, I wonder if there's more to this than just what particularly happened here? Is a principle being set into motion, or is this a precursor to a much larger story? Abraham's probably that smart. Maybe he needs more information. Let's see if he got more information by turning to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham saw my day. Well, how did he see the day of the Lord? Because there's more to it than just the birth of Isaac and the destruction of Sodom. Maybe, and when we look in the plains of Mamre, we see those two items couple together, but in what we're going to read now, one of them really stands out. And let's see what it is. Genesis chapter 22 then, and we'll start reading in verse number 3. Let's start reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Now that word tempt there in the King James could easily lead you to think that it's the common temptation of man. It's not. The word tempt there means to try or to prove. It doesn't mean to tempt with evil. It means to try or to prove. And if you look at it in the American Standard, for example, I believe they actually use the word prove. Okay, verse number 2. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son, Isaac. I mentioned that a moment ago. What's God saying here? I've made a choice, and Ishmael ain't it? As a matter of fact, he's not even counted as being a son of Abraham, because he says, thine only son, Isaac. Son is italicized here, but the same sense is true if you leave the word out, thine only, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Huh. Now Abraham's listening to this and saying, of course I love Isaac. Why would God bother to put that into the narrative here? Well, let's see. Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, or the land where Moriah is, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, what does Abraham immediately know, putting two and two together, when we compare Mamre with Moriah? Abraham by this time must have figured a few things out. I think if you could interview a Passover lamb, what would they say about being offered? It seems a whole lot like being destroyed, as far as they can see. To the animal, it's dying. But now we have Abraham here that has garnered some things from his previous experience in Mamre. What would he immediately be thinking now? What do you think's going through his mind? He did.
So
what about that question he asked God before Sodom was destroyed? That's why I brought it up, because it's important.
He doesn't.
Will you destroy
the... He doesn't kill the righteous.
Exactly. So do you think... Abraham is immediately thinking in his mind, there's a whole lot more to this than I understand, because it sounds like a horrible thing that's being suggested here, doesn't it? Take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. In other words, kill him as a sacrifice. Do you suppose Abraham had learned something from Mamre? Yes, Isaac is righteous. So Abraham doesn't know what God is up to here, but there's one thing that he does know, that he won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. He's already learned that. Okay, verse number 2 again. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, more on that later, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, it would be instructive here when you see a word like this to figure out what it means, wouldn't it? Yeah. Why am I bringing this up? Because when you're reading the scripture and you come to something like this, it might be really good to grab a Bible dictionary or a Strong's and find out what this word means. I'll tell you, just this once though. It means to see. And it has the word Jehovah in it. That's why there's an A-H on the end, Yah. It means the Lord sees, literally. This is going to be important as we move on. And offer him up for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Not just in the land of Moriah, but when you get into the land of Moriah, there is one particular mountain. And I'll tell you which one it is when you get there. Verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. What do we learn here? He rose up early in the morning. You kind of would have expected, if he didn't trust God, to dawdle around as long as he possibly could. But he doesn't. He rises up early in the morning. He takes two young men with him. He prepares the wood for the burnt offering. And he sets off on a journey. Verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Oh, do you see anything that jumps off the page there?
The third day.
Of course. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That's interesting. He lifted up his eyes. What does that tell you? He's actually looking for this place? Instead of trying to avoid it, he's actually looking for it. But he only sees it afar off. Verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. Well, that's interesting. He's prepared the wood for the sacrifice. He's taken his son. And yet he tells the two that came with him, you don't go up the mountain with me, you stay here. And pretty soon I and the lad will come again unto you. What's he saying here? And Isaac will be back too? What does that tell you about what Abraham is thinking at this point? Of course, he knows that God's not going to destroy his son, but he doesn't know what's going on at this point. But he does see far enough to say, I don't know how it's going to work out, but we'll be back. Does that sound like faith? Does it sound like more faith than when those three men showed up that day in the plains of Mamre and told him he was going to have a son? Sure does. Do you think Abraham has grown spiritually up to this point? He surely has. Verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. That's interesting. He's going to offer up Isaac. And if that isn't bad enough, he makes him carry the wood. Huh. Of all the strange things we see going on here. Do you suppose Abraham is noticing all these things? Yeah, I got an idea, he is. And he, Abraham, took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Now they're both together up to this point. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? That's interesting too, don't you think? He calls Abraham his father. He sees the fire and the wood, which he'd been carrying, the wood, not the fire. And he asks, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What would pique your attention at this point?
Well, Isaac is wondering what's going on, I'm sure. Because he doesn't have...
He is at this point, and you have to be very careful not to try to make every single detail fit here. Because this is a foreshadowing of something else. But what do you suppose? Why did he say lamb? Didn't they sacrifice bullocks and other animals? What were you going to say, Mom?
Oh, I said that verse 6 almost referred to when he was carrying the cross.
Oh, well, some people are starting to figure this out already. Excellent. What about the lamb? Why didn't he say, Father, where's the bullock? Or some other animal that they would have sacrificed. He says lamb, specifically. Of course. It's all here, if you're looking. It's all here. Abraham is seeing this too. Do you suppose Abraham already knows about the institution of the Passover? He knew it before any of the Jews did, because he's putting two and two together here. Oh, it has to be a lamb. Okay. Verse number 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. What do you think Abraham is thinking? Now, he said this, but why do you think that he said it? Because he's answered Isaac's question, where's the lamb? And what was the answer? God will provide himself a lamb. So what's Abraham thinking? If God's going to provide himself a lamb, maybe it's not Isaac? It could be. You could look at it that way. But Abraham obviously isn't, because he's already told those young men that are waiting with the ass, hang around here. We'll be back. He'll prepare a lamb for himself. Do you think that's prophetic? Abraham was a prophet, wasn't he? Do you think maybe he's understood that this must be for another time? I don't know exactly what's going on here. But whatever it's pointing to must be for another time. This is a shadow and type of something else that's going to happen later. Verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What do you think Abraham's making out of this? What's going through his mind? First of all, he knows that Isaac is going to go back to where the donkey is. But now we've come to this place. Do you think he was intending to go through with it?
Yes.
Of course he was. He absolutely was. And the angel of the Lord, verse number 11, called unto him out of heaven. Have we seen this angel of the Lord in this narrative any time before? Hint, go back to Mamre.
The three guys.
Oh, yes, one of them was very special. And how many others were there? Well, that's interesting. How many did Abraham bring as helpers? Huh. Imagine that. Was he going to go? Sure, he was going to go through it. Absolutely, he was. And yet, he trusted God to the place where what? I'm going to do what God told me to do and leave the results up to him? Obviously, that's what he's doing here, because he's serious about what he's about. Verse number 12. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything... Do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. What do you see here? For now I know that thou fearest God. And how did that tie together with verse number 1? Where I told you that word doesn't mean what you might have thought it meant. He's proving him. Who was he proving him? He was proving Abraham. Did God already know what was going to happen? Yes. God already knew it. So what was the purpose of this whole thing?
To prove to Abraham.
Yes. And do you suppose it was intended for a wider audience than just Abraham? He did. Do you suppose he passed that on to Jacob? Jacob had a brother too that didn't amount to much, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Jacob, he didn't look like he amounted to much.
Not at first.
Not at first.
But he was proved.
Yes, he was proved too. It's true. But do you suppose this was for a wider audience than even Jacob and the 12 tribes?
Well, for us.
Well, yeah, yes, that's the point. Yeah, because the question again was, how did Abraham know what was going on? And the Word of God is constantly brought up in the narrative that Jesus brings forth in John chapter 8. The Word of God. The Word of God. How could Abraham have known it? Maybe he knew something about God because Jesus had said to the Pharisees, "You don't even know God. You know about Him, but you don't know Him." Two completely separate things. How does that relate to what we're looking at here? Abraham, does he know God? Do you think Isaac knows God? Yes. And if they know God, do you think the Word of God would be pretty plain to them and they could hear it? Abraham's a prophet at this point. Verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Well, let's start looking at some of these issues. But before we do, let's read verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Well, Jehovah Jireh means that the Lord sees, or Jehovah sees. Well, that's pretty obvious to us, but what relevance does that have to this particular story? Well, more on that later, too. But before we get to that, let's look at a couple of issues here. First of all, verse number 9, and I want to relate this to some other scriptures. And again, the question is, how did Abraham know these things? Well, the same way you could know these things. Verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Now, what do you immediately know about this? You've got an old man and a young man. And the young man has been tied up by the old man and laid on the wood. What do you suppose the young man knows at this point? Yes, and since he's the young man and Abraham's the old man, what might he have done if he objected to what was happening?
Probably would have won.
Which, of course he would. Turn to Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. And of course, hold your finger here, because we'll be back. Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Do we see Isaac offering any resistance to what's going on here? You don't suppose you're starting to see what's going on here as a shadow and type of something else? Obviously, it's right there. Well, if Isaac wanted to fight, he certainly could have. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 50. Matthew 26 and verse number 50. Matthew 26 and verse number 50. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched forth his hand, and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest's, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all his disciples forsook him and fled. Verse number 56 again. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. I said a moment ago, Abraham seems to be a prophet. Does it seem like he prophesied something that was to come to pass all the way back in the book of Genesis? Yeah, it sure looks that way, doesn't it? Are you starting to see how Abraham saw his day and saw it and was glad? Verse number 14. Oh, back to Genesis again. Genesis 22 and verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Doesn't that pique your interest? Like, what question are you asking yourself right now? What will be seen? Well, since our time is gone for this morning, I'm going to mark this place, and we'll come back here next time and see what will be seen in the mountain of the Lord. For now, let's pray.